And a couple of weeks ago, I spent a fair amount of time watching the Olympics. I stayed up way too late, many nights in a row, to watch Michael Phelps win his 8 gold medals. And I started to notice that often the big marquee events were telecast starting around 10:30, way past my bedtime, usually. But because I got caught up in the drama, I stayed up and I watched. I watched the swimmers. I watched the gymnasts, the divers, and the runners. But while I watched the competitions and then watched the athletes' profiles that journalists produced about the medal winners, I actually found myself wanting even more. I wondered about all the athletes who didn't medal. If they came in fourth, or if they didn't qualify for the final events, we just didn't learn much about them at all. Even though they had worked hard to get to the Olympics, they had trained hard, sacrificed much, and dedicated their lives to their sport, most of us will never hear their stories. Their work was not deemed worthy of reporting by the TV producers because their work did not result in an Olympic medal. Well, I hate to tell you this, but none of the work we do as people of faith results in an Olympic medal. So because tomorrow is Labor Day, I just want to talk with you today about the under-televised work that we choose to do as people of faith. Both the work we do individually and the work we do as a community. Now, I do know that quite a bit of the work done here in this community does generate publicity and gets attention. But a lot of us don't garner public attention, and yet we work just as hard and live with passion, faith, and dedication. How we come together as a community of faith, embracing all of this work and dedication we do as a community, is a question that every faith community answers in an ongoing way, but all the more important is it when a community is in transition like you are. Next week, you'll be welcoming a new interim pastor. So this is probably a time for you of celebration, perhaps still a time of mourning. It certainly is a time of reflection and regrouping. In short, it's a time of work. And it is a time of broadly recognizing all the work each of you do, each of you offer, to make this a community of faith. So I'd like to break this open for conversation right now for just a minute or two and ask you, what is the work that you do that makes this community work, makes this community function? I told you I was going to call on you, so.
Oh, I tried to participate in the church activities, retreat, greet. This is where I can feed, and when we go down to feed the poor people, things of that nature.
Participate in a wide range of activities, including reading and the charity work, the outreach work that you do. In short, you show up a lot.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Well, I think part of it is just that people come here to worship together. You could stay home and pray, but you come here.
You make the effort to show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's work to get up. Not so early. I like to get up at 10 to 11. But you make the effort to show up and worship here. Anything else? I know, it's just so much easier to be in a sermon when you don't have to be called on. I know. But I'm a professor at heart, so. Just a couple more things. What else makes this church function?
I sing in the church.
Sing? Singing every Sunday? And rehearsing, the rehearsals that could happen beforehand, privately and group rehearsals.
Donations. Fundraising.
Fundraising, donations, the work that's given in terms of money.
Yeah. The work of the volunteers in the Sunday school, I think, is, you know, teaching our young.
Teaching.
That's a great
yeah.
Service.
Sunday school teachers. I heard that Sunday school is going to start next week. Yep.
And the people who are friendly make it easier to come back.
Just the friendliness, the hospitality, the openness of this community. These are some of the things that are work that make this community function. I want to turn now to the scripture and add a few more things about work in a faith community. From Ezekiel, we hear about the work that God does. He works like a shepherd. He watches out for us. He's searching for us when we're lost. He's caring for us. A shepherd never really looks terribly busy. But a shepherd is vigilant, forever vigilant, watching, caring, and therefore working. You know, I considered editing down that passage because as I was practicing for day, I thought, oh my goodness, this is such a long passage. But in fact, the length of it, all of the work that God is doing, helped me, I suspect, make this point better. We sometimes overwork the work that God does in our lives and God does in our community. So God is working. From Luke, we hear that story that's often retold of Mary and Martha. Martha is distracted by the details of preparing to host a guest, instead of focusing on the art of hosting, which is actually just being present for one's guest. Martha is furthermore resentful that her sister seems oblivious to her own preoccupations. Just as she is distracted by the details, she expects other women to be distracted by busyness. She resents that Mary doesn't act busy. Sometimes we forget or overlook the work that's involved in prayer, contemplation that supports a community, although it was raised in our brief conversation earlier. Then again, some of the work that makes a vibrant community of faith happened before any of us got here. And I don't just mean the people who arrived early to turn on the lights, light the fire, light the candles, although those pieces of work are important. But as you consider your transition into the future, I wonder what aspects of the past resonate with you. These could be the distant past, like Scripture, or it could be a past generation, one generation ago, two generations ago. But what work has been done in the past that could be forgotten, but which still resonates with at least some of you today? I'm a historian by training, so bear with me. I naturally think about this kind of stuff. But I know myself that the very reason I'm here today goes way back to the 1930s. Now, trust me, that was before I was born. And it's a story that I've told in different faith communities because I never tire of telling it. In fact, I'm in awe of why I am here today. The reason I was invited to preach here, the reason why I even walk through any church door with any regularity, has to do because of a woman I've never met. All I know is that her name was Mrs. Healy, and that she lived on Holly Street in Berkeley, which was the same street that my mother grew up on. As I grew up, I would hear little brief snippets of stories about Mrs. Healy that my mom would tell us, especially as she loaded us kids up into the station wagon, heading us off to St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Now, I'll be honest, my mom had her hands full convincing four kids to go to church. Three Sundays of the month, we usually actually stayed home, watched cartoons, played basketball, did anything but go to church. But on the first Sunday of the month, my mom's attitude was very different. No, we cannot stay home today. We are going to church because today is communion. So I grew up with a very strong sense that communion was at the very center of my faith. My decision to become Catholic, as counterintuitive as that might seem for a feminist in the late 20th century, was rooted in this practice of attending communion as a child. When I returned to live in Berkeley, I started going to St. Joseph the Worker Church, and I mentioned that in passing to my mother, and she immediately gushed, "Oh, I know that church. Mrs. Healy used to take me there every week." Mrs. Healy had seen that my mother, growing up in the 1930s, was the only child of two atheist immigrants from Finland. She asked Norma's parents if she could take her to church, and she did, week in, week out. My mom especially liked listening to the music. She thought all the kneeling was tedious, and she found communion compelling, even mesmerizing. So when she told me this, I suddenly realized why we went to church on the first Sunday of the month growing up at the Lutheran Church. I understood my own devotion to communion, and suddenly I understood why, after so many years of searching and doubting, I found my own faith within the Roman Catholic Church. It was because of Mrs. Healy. She had firmly impressed on my mother the importance of communion, who then taught it to me by making sure that we went to church on the Sunday when communion was offered. Now, my mom never became Catholic, but I do know that Mrs. Healy planted in her a strong seed of faith, and all she did was invite a little girl to church. It's because of that small act of kindness decades ago that I choose to walk through the doors of any church with some amount of regularity. It was because of this work done by a woman I never met that I became a preacher and came to be invited to speak with you today. She has made all the difference in my life, and I've never met her. But I learned about her through the stories my mother told in rushed and hurried moments here and there. So in turning back to this community and your period of transition, I wonder who and what has made the difference in the present, in the past, and potentially in the future of the Swedenborgian Church of San Francisco. It may not be just the people and the events who have traditionally received all the attention. Some of the most profound work that sustains this community may be small and subtle and could easily be forgotten. But they may come up when you're chatting while you're setting up the hospitality table, or when someone is telling a story about how they first learned about this church. These are the stories that you keep in your heart and that sustain this community of faith. So, on this Labor Day weekend, I encourage you to work at being storytellers. I encourage you to work maybe even harder at being story listeners, so that the stories about the Mrs. Healy of this community are known, and that the work these people have done continues to inform and even sustain you as a church. This is the kind of work that can make all the difference in a life. I know, because I'm here.